Blog Talk Radio.
Because of reliance shall break every chain. Conquering lion shall break every chain. Give him the victory again and again.
Can you hear me, Brother Drew?
Yeah, I'll turn it over to you, GG.
All right. Well, Brother Drew, first and foremost, as always, thank you for all that you do. To the listening audience, I go by the name GG Wood. And I'm the co-host on the show that we call The List. The show is basically about creating a decision-making aid for young people that they can utilize on their journey going forward. It's built on the concept of Brother Drew, I think I hear you in the background there. It's built on the concept of if you could tell young you, Brother Drew, I think I hear you in the background there. If you could tell young you some advice, based on everything that you have learned and lived up until the present day, what advice would you give yourself? And we take submissions, and we, with those submissions, we create this tool that I would like to, or that I like to call a list. Now, usually what we do is review the submissions from the previous show, and then we go into the submissions for this show. But as we are actually nearing the conclusion of this list, which the goal is to conclude it by the end of the year, I'm going to do the submissions that we have up until present day, which are, we have 79 submissions thus far, and only 21 more to go. So if you like to get your submissions in, you can do so by emailing them to the following: ggwoodthelist@gmail.com or ggwoodthelist@hotmail.com. So right now what I'd like to do is play a quote from the President of the United States when he was discussing what was happening in Israel. And I just want you to hear his words. So I'll take a second.
And then we'll go forward.
Could emerge in connection with these horrific attacks. This is a moment for the United States to come together, to grieve with those who are mourning. Let's be real clear. There's no place for hate in America. Not against Jews, not against Muslims, not against anybody. We reject. What we reject is terrorism. We condemn it.
Now,
with that played, what I like to do is send a shout out to the family of Brother Rasheem Carter, who was the victim of hate in America. Now, the latest news on Brother Carter, which these crimes, or this murder of the brother, took place over a year ago. Place October the 2nd, and the latest news on Brother Carter, which was posted, trying to get to the date here, which was posted on, give me just a second to get to it here, was posted on October 23rd, they still have no news. As a matter of fact, what's so painful is they giving the family the runaround. I want to read this quote that his mother said. Give me just a second here. Okay, here we go. Okay, a year after black man disappeared under mysterious circumstances, questions remain. His mother, Tiffany Carter, claims she's not been given any updates on the son's death. And this article was posted on the anniversary of his disappearance to October the 2nd, which the disappearance was October the 2nd, 22, and this article is October 2nd, 23. And what his mother said, I just want to, she said the, let me see. Okay. At a glance, I'm just not running into it. But she said that, okay, here we go. Tiffany Carter told ABC News that she and her family reached out to the Mississippi Medical Examiner's office, which had taken over the autopsy of the remains, and multiple times has not received a response. She has reached out to them multiple times and has yet to receive a response. And then it says that the medical examiner's office did not immediately return ABC News' request for a statement. So a year and some days later, the mystery around the young man's murder, this hate in America that won't be tolerated by the President of the United States, is apparently being tolerated by the President of the United States. So shout out to Rasheem Carter family, and we standing with y'all. Brother Drew, I'm going to go into the submissions, and then I got to want to go into the subject of the show, which is reconnecting.
Okay.
I'm just going to pick up at submission 50, and I'm going to go through 50 to 79. Submission 50 is understand your economic power. One is seek the absolute truth in all things, and the truth will make you free. Let the truth be your guide. 52 is listen, using your mind, your body, and your spirit. 53 is stay humble, never close the door. 54 is don't have children with the wrong man or woman. Easier said than done, but that's the advice. 55 is gleaning, which is the art of making a way for people who are having difficulties on their way. And that'll be discussed further later on additional shows. 56 is Ubuntu, which is a principle that goes all the way back to the Zulus. It means I am, because we are, as a people, I am because we are. 57 is the 42 principles of Mayat. 58 is welcome different opinions, separate the people from the problem, welcome the opposition, but learn to separate the people from the problem and focus on the problem. 59 is plan, patience, and persistence. The saying is that money in the hands of a man with no plan is a waste of money. People don't plan to fail. People fail to plan. So plan, patience, and persistence. number 60 is tell them anyway. Whether they want to hear it or not, they hear it. So tell them anyway. 61 is stay calm. Stay analytical. Manage the urge to instinctively respond. Retain your power and your energy. Because once you say it, it's said and you can't take it back. 62 is fight to capitalize on the opportunity when it happens. Rise to the magnitude of the moment. 63, people who approach you have motives. Learn that early. When people approach you, they approach you for a reason. So understand they have motives, and it's your, probably in your best interest to try to take the time to find out the why and the what those motives may or may not be, or those motives are. 64, understand the difference between money and wealth. And that's a big one. That's a big one. 65, when people tell you you can't, what they are saying is they can't. Because nobody knows what you can or cannot do. Learn that early. Don't let people tell you you can't do something just because they can't do it. 66, know that capitalism doesn't work if everyone succeeds. Somebody's got to eat swine, which basically what is being said there is that everybody's not going to be at the tippity top. Everybody's not going to be rich. Everybody's not going to be balling. Everybody's not going to be that guy. It doesn't work if everybody's at the top. So you're just going to have to figure out where you're going to fall in this capitalistic system. But just know that it doesn't work if everybody succeeds. So that's a pipe dream. You're in a fight. 67. Learn how to function without technology. See, your mind is a muscle that requires vigorous exercise to stay fit, just like any other part of the body. Technology makes a lot of things that were mentally challenging. It eliminates that out of the equation. And a mind, a lazy mind, just like a lazy body, just like a lazy spirit, it's not a healthy thing. It's not in your best interest to have, to be lazy mentally. So learn how to function without the technology just to give yourself that mental work. So that way you can stay mentally sharp and fit. 68, unshackle yourself from 40-hour work week jobs. Develop a better quality of life. Look at the people who spent their lives on a job. You know, that had those careers. And look at what they look like. Especially people who do physical labor for 40 years, for up until their retirement. You know, they've been doing it all their life. Look at what they look like. And then ask yourself, is that the journey that you want to, is that the road you want to travel down? And then ask, what are they saying afterwards? Ask them about their opinions about the journey that they travel. Would they do it again? Would they do it differently? So, you know, try to break free from that cycle and live a better quality of life if you can. The best one that you can, because you only got one trip through this life. So Why not want the best for yourself? What's wrong with that? 69. It's okay to not know. It's okay to not know stuff. But it's not okay to not evolve. You know, you want to better yourself always. And that's the way we evolve, is by learning, by getting better at things that we do, you know, on and on. But it's not okay to just run in place your entire life. That's not a good thing. Number 70, never do a business deal when you are desperate. People pressure you into making bad decisions that have long-term effects. The best approach I can give, or the best advice I can give in examples like that, is do something to buy yourself some time to think. You know, either request additional time to whatever, you know, to think more, to go get some more input from others, you know, seeking advice from others, all of that, before you give a final decision. Or in the crazy scenarios where people won't give you time and you're just not comfortable, I would advise you to always say no and just pass up on those opportunities altogether, just because of the pressure and the potential long-term damage it could do if you make the wrong decisions. I would say in a situation like that, just decline. 71, and this is from Master P, the rapper, millionaire, is stay away from headache money. I get that. I think a lot of you get that. 72 is to show up. 73 is be smart in business, because someone's got to fail. So you got to always understand that you're in a competitive market. If you're in business, you're in a competitive market. We got a free market system in the United States, and businesses chop each other's throat, cut each other's throat, chop each other's head off on a regular basis. That's just how business works. So always, always stay smart in business. Always look over your shoulder. Always check on what the competition is doing. Always be knowledgeable about the new technologies, how they can affect the market that you may be in. You got to stay conscious about everything that's around you and your business when you're in business. So be smart in business, because someone's got to fail. 74, when there's bad news, there's always good news. Out of chaos comes opportunity. I think Brother Drew gave a submission that was very similar to that, which said something about being something about turning negatives into positive. I can't remember the quote exactly. It's in the earlier submissions, but I think those are almost the same. So we may have to work on that one. Number 75 is focus and finish. We're talking about self-discipline because a lot of times we start journeys. We start business endeavors. We start relationships. We start, you know, things in our lives, and we started on a good note, you know, with the best intentions. But going forward, sustaining it, making it work, we start to fall off, and we don't finish what we start. We don't finish what we start. So it's very important to focus and finish. Number 76 is understand what your cultural nucleus is and where it is. Reconnect with it frequently to keep yourself grounded and fully charged with the right energy. Your cultural nucleus. Reconnect with it frequently. 77. Find your yes when you keep getting no. Stop wasting time with no and find yes. A lot of times people spend a whole, if you ever watch people on phone calls, business calls, or even like if they talking to somebody in customer service, they spend all this time on the phone with these people who have already told them, no, it's not going to happen. And you put a lot of energy into that. When you run into a no, consider that a brick wall. You ain't going to go through it. In that conversation, you can always, if you're on a phone call, you can always call back. The next time, you're probably going to get somebody different. Nowadays, you're going to get somebody in a whole other country or another city when you call back at these customer service, if it's a customer service call. If it's a business call, depending on what level it's at, again, you can go through someone else. You know, find your yes and stop wasting time with those no's. 78 is learn to protect your eyesight. And that's important because your eyesight, that's the number one sense of all the senses. And I dispute that with anybody who wants to have that discussion. That receptor takes in more information than any of your other senses. So learn to protect your eyesight early. Reading glasses reduce the strain on the eyes. And your eye, like any muscle, it fatigues. So people who read a lot, I mean just heavy, heavy reading, when the muscle fatigues, the risk of injury increases. The reading glasses reduces the strain on the muscle, meaning that you can go longer or you can go further with the aid of the glasses versus without them. So learn to protect your eyesight early. And then 79 is to discover the power of the hieroglyphics, which is a lesson about the Ethiopian text that will be covered on later shows. So, Brother Drew, that brings us to 79.
All right.
The next 80 through 89, we leave open for the general public for submissions about pretty much anything they want to submit. But the last 10 submissions, or 11, from 90 to 100, that may actually be 11, that's dedicated to healthy, wealthy, heterosexual relationship building, family structure, those things. And after that, brother, the list is complete and we'll be putting out a hard copy of the list and on to phase two. Now, briefly, I want to talk about phase two, which is once the list is completed, each submission will have a little 30-minute segment dedicated to it to reinforce every submission that's on that list. So a young person who has a list in hand, hard copy, who may be struggling with one of the concepts, can at any time, anywhere where he's got access to get online, can go to a website, click on that particular submission, and here's a little 30-minute segment about it, discussing that particular submission in greater detail. So the list, this decision-making aid, will, in theory, will be there long after me and you gone, Brother Drew. Me, you, every other brother and sister who contributed to the creation of it, and the ripples will keep flowing, and hopefully its impact will be uplifting for generations. Right. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah. So the objective is to have that list completed by year end, hard copies starting to be distributed. Have a very specific designated distribution points that we'll reveal that sometime in early 2024. And these copies are going to be free, but the impact of them is going to be invaluable. Now, the challenge is on you. Because, see, to influence the young people to learn the list, now that's a different challenge. But the one tool that the young people want or that you can use to encourage and to influence them to learn is money. But these are your youngsters. You know how much money will move the needle with them. But if you get them to learn that list, you're going to watch a reckless mind evolve into a mind with purpose, discipline, determination, and with a sense of where it's trying to go, destination. I promise y'all that this list is going to be impactful. Now, I say this, most young people, they want it. Whatever there it is, they just don't know how to get there. And this list is going to help. So, let me give you an example of that's pretty much it, and I'm ready to kind of get into the subject, but I just want to give you one example of this these last 10 submissions, how come they're so important. The family web, like a spider web. It's the man and the woman should love each other and support and lift each other and understand and stand with each other against all others, period. That's the way marriages work. That's the way good relationships work. And the only people who should matter more than them are their children, that next generation. The man should love his wife, but he should love his children more, because the spouse could fall off the rails. A spouse could have, you know, life could be terminated, and it all falls on that other one. So, you know, and then a new next companion come in, it may not be good for the children, but the parent has to love the children more than they love themselves, because the children are the legacy. You know, that's the investment, the children. That's the dream. And we have discussed this in detail, that you don't let anybody get between you and your dream. Your children are your dream. So you love your children more. You love your nieces and nephews. And then the people that you love more than them is the next generation, the grandchildren. You love your children more than yourself, but you love your grandchildren more than your children. And what happens is, all this energy, it's woven into each other, and it creates a web of energy that flows from the parents to the children, from the parents to the children, from the parents and the children to the grandchildren, from the parents, the children, the grandparents, the grandchildren, all the way to the great. You understand what I'm saying? That's how the web, the family web, in a perfect world should work. But we know there's no perfect world. So embrace that it ain't a perfect world. It ain't going to never be a perfect world. Just embrace that and adhere to the principles. Adhere to the principles and you'll do just fine. Because nothing's perfect, never, ever, ever. And if you can sleep on that and accept that, then nothing's ever going to be perfect in this world. Tomorrow when you wake up, I guarantee you, you find yourself in the perfect world, as effed up as this world is. But if you embrace the fact that nothing's going to ever be perfect in this world, you'll be in the perfect world. Now, on to today's topic, reconnecting. Reconnecting, the example that I like to give about reconnecting is a brother, and I was talking, and he said this. He was talking about electricity. And he said that when an electrical object is unplugged, it ceases to receive power. The energy to keep it functioning strong. So when the object is a people who become unplugged from their ancestral culture, they lose the lessons, the rituals, the structure that has been given to them for generations by their ancestors, and they lose their power, their identity, their unity. So, brothers and sisters, I'd like to challenge you, because I can't tell you what to do, but I can tell you what I think you should do. Reconnect with your ancestral culture and see what happens. You got nothing to lose but some time and maybe a little energy. But I believe when you reconnect, you'll be the benefactor. The energy, the knowledge, the effects will make you rethink your pay. This is why reconnecting is so important. It keeps you on the right path. See, I hear organizations pitch their concepts, but I don't hear them encouraging reconnecting. Reconnecting is where everybody reunites. Everybody reunites, regardless of who they are. You know, because we got a lot of different factions. So regardless of who you are, this is where you reconnect because the lessons of the ancestors go back thousands of years. All these organizations, these other organizations are relatively new, or they babies in terms when you compare them to the lessons of the ancestors. So I hear organizations promoting their way of thinking as replacements for the lessons of the ancestors. I believe, and this is just my personal opinion, I believe that they is the nation, they is the Hebrew Israelites, they is the Moors, they is the Panthers, and all the others should promote their concepts in addition to the teaching of the ancestors. In addition to the lessons of the ancestors, here is something else, but not to replace it. Not to replace it, because that's disrespect. When a young man tell you to follow him and don't worry about what this old one over here saying, that's disrespect. And that's where we are. Because we replaced the teaching, and we shouldn't replace it. We should encourage reconnection. And here is our ideas in addition to it. It's to compliment it, not to insult it, or not to, you know, replace it, which is an insult. Because that's getting between the ancestors and their dreams. That's you and me. We are the dreams. Those are the parents. And we are the dreams. Because the submission was, shout out to Brother Vaughn, the submission was, don't let anybody, anything stand between you and your dreams. Or your children, not your dreams. Yes, they are. The lessons to be learned from reconnecting is that reconnecting is not about you. Reconnecting is bigger than you. Reconnecting is about us. Reconnecting regrounds you. It pulls your head out the clouds and puts your feet back on the ground where it's supposed to be. When you walk into a place where nobody cares about your status, but instead about you, it's an awakening. Old people ask, baby, how you doing? Baby, pick this up and set it right here. Don't even care who you are. It's an elder. I need you to pick this up. Millionaire, I need you to pick this up. Earl Spence Jr., shout out to Earl Spence. I need you to pick this up. Baby, are you hungry? You know what I'm saying? Here goes something to eat. You want some cake? They don't care who you are. That's not important. They just care about you. And that's more important. And you know, the old men, they'll tell you to sit down. Here, have a seat. And they start talking. They got stories they want to tell you. They show you something you ain't never seen. Little kids want to play with you, you know, get your attention. They don't care who you are. It's just kids doing what kids do. But they all do to you what they doing to everybody else. They ain't doing it like you special. They just doing it because you there. It's about us. Ubuntu. I am because we are. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. So where do you reconnect? Where do you reconnect? Now, your cultural nucleus in your community, that's the answer to that question. Your cultural nucleus in your community is where you reconnect. Now, what I want to do right now, I want to play a little segment from an elder who I got mixed feelings about him, Brother Alex Haley. If Alex Haley were, you know, may he rest in peace, but if he were alive in our past with a cross, I would shake his hand for Malcolm X. But if he took his eyes off of me, kick him in his nuts about roots. So, that's just the way I process this stuff. So I just want you to listen to Alex Haley for just a second here. And then we'll go on to something different. Give me just a second to set up my audio.
Brother Drew, you can confirm for me that you can hear this okay, and then we'll let it play.
It used to be that virtually every residence in this country contained three generations under one roof. There was no problem finding babysitters. They were in the house. And another thing, a classic institution, maybe the greatest institution of its kind our nation ever has known. And this had nothing to do with color or religion or whatever. But after the Sunday church service, the family would go out onto the front porch if the weather permitted, or into the living room if it was bad on the front porch. And the whole family would gather around. The seats of honor were just taken, as a matter of fact, by the eldest people present, the grandmothers, the grandfathers, and they would begin to talk. Chiefly it was the men, the grandfathers, who were the storytellers, and they told endless stories. And all sat around. I remember this. I don't know if it happened to you in Chicago where you were, but it sure happened to us. You just sit there with your mouth open, listening to your venerated grandfather tell with a measured cadence the stories that had come down. And he might sometimes, if you really wanted a thrill, talk about when he was a boy your age and what happened. And you kind of got this vague picture of, my golly, we go back to the Ark. It sounded like it. And what was really happening on that front porch or in those living rooms those Sundays, early afternoon as a rule, was that the culture of that area was filtering down from the mouths of the elders. There's a saying I like to apply to our elders here as much as where I heard it first. There's a saying in Africa, West Africa anyway, that when an old man dies, and an old woman would be as well, it is as if a library has burned to the ground. I just feel that we need those of us who are so inclined to try and find a way, ways plural, to bring families back together, such as reunions. There's nothing more effective than a family reunion. Even the teenagers who have to be dragged kicking and screaming to a family reunion, if you just kind of play fly on the wall and stick around and you watch as they play Mr. and Miss Blase and could care less about the whole thing. But almost always, the thing I like particularly is at the end of a reunion, there is the making of the classic picture, the end, the picture of the whole family. And they bring out the best chairs available, usually overstuffed chairs, and line them up there, being anywhere from, say, 3 or 4 to 6, maybe. And these are kind of the seats of honor for the elders present. And if you watch real close, after a 2-3 day reunion has buffeted its way along, you will see some teenagers glancing around, hoping nobody's noticing, as they go over and very ever so casually take the arm of a very old person and help them over toward that seat. And after that's done, the teenagers disappear immediately. You know, nobody didn't want anybody to see them or to know that they cared or felt anything like that. And then comes the, not contest, but sort of time for the youngest present. And here's where you get all the people, you know, the mothers with the new babies, little babies in diapers, or pam-pams they call them now. And they bring them over and they put them in the laps of the eldest present. And if you want something to get to you, if you've got any kind of sensitivity, it's you are sitting looking at that chair. And there is a very elderly person. You know how people's muscles kind of tend to fall away from their arm, the skin becomes very loose, things like that. And you see this elderly person with arms around holding the body of a plump, bursting with health little one. And you realize that what you're looking at in that chair, you probably will never see that combination again. And you are looking at a lapse of literal generations sitting in that one chair. And if you remember that family, you realize that's part of you sitting in that chair.
Now,
what I want to say from that is cultural nucleus every day, where traditionally, you know, moments like that would be reserved to annual events because the family reunions, especially the ones to that magnitude, were traditionally held on an annual basis. But if you go to your cultural nucleus on a daily, weekly, biweekly, monthly, you know, every 3 months, every quarterly, every trimester, whatever. Point is, you can see that. You can experience that. You can be a part of it anytime you want. Now, your cultural nucleus, and I got to put some emphasis on this. Your cultural nucleus should only have 2 problems ever, in my opinion. Because any problem that arises at that place, the community with skill sets to address those problems and resolve those problems and keep your cultural nucleus healthy and wealthy. The only 2 problems that your cultural nucleus should have constantly that it should never be able to satisfy or one, it should be overbooked. Overbooking not enough time or room for all the scheduled activities. It should never be able to satisfy that demand. And the number two is back orders out the wazoo. There should be an overwhelming demand for inventory that can't be satisfied fast enough. Those are the two problems that your cultural nucleus should always be facing. And those are business problems that businesses welcome. So I say to you this, my brothers, my sisters, reconnect. I dare you. What you afraid of? So, Brother Drew, that's basically me covering everything that I needed to cover this evening. Clock on the wall say we still got about 10 minutes. Let's go ahead and open up the lines because I never did do that, primarily because I had so much I wanted to cover and I wanted to get that out the way. But we can open up the lines if you don't mind, brother.
Okay. Anybody want to call in, press one. Oh, my bad. Just press one on your phone and we get you ready and with us. So I'll let you know, GG, as soon as we get a call with your hands up.
Okay. Let me go back to a story that I ended the show with last month briefly. And I talked about my own personal experience with my grandfather. And I ain't going to go into too much about it, but there's this moment where me, my three-year-old son, and my grandfather are sitting on the couch, and we are watching something on television. If you go back and revisit last month's show, you'll know what the something is. I'm trying to stay vague this month because I got a little backlash from that last that I said the previous month. So I'm trying to be a little more diplomatic about how I say this time. But anyway, we're sitting there and we're watching this movie. And it bothered me. But I trusted my grandfather's judgment because he said that my three-year-old son, he ain't going to remember this. And what happens is I just sit there, and again, I'm uncomfortable with all of it. But what happened, which I didn't talk about this last month, was that while we just sitting there, and let me kind of paint a picture. We're on the couch in the living room, and I'm on the – we're facing the television, and I'm on the right end of the couch. My son is in the middle between me and my grandfather, and he's to the left of my son. And he's sitting there, and he's got the remote control in his hand, kind of resting on his lap with the face of it up. And my son is just sitting there. And so what he does, ever so slightly, he just kind of leans over and looks at the face of the remote, takes his little finger, and he punches the fast forward button on the remote. And this is a DVD player, by the way. And he punches a fast-forward button. And so the video speeds up. And when it speeds up, I never forget, my grandfather turns around, you know, quickly, and he's got this goofy, and I can see it clear as day right now. He's got this goofy expression on his face, and he looks at my son, who he had never met until that weekend. They'd never been in the presence of each other until that weekend. And I wanted them to bond, which is how come we went there, because my grandfather stayed in a different state. My grandparents stayed in a different state. And I wanted them to bond. So he spins around, and he looks at my son, and he got this goofy look on his face, and he goes, "Woo, look at him go," you know. And my son just died laughing, you know. And just to make it even more intense and enjoyable, he reaching at my son with his hand, poking at his belly a little bit, just encouraging him to laugh a little more, a little harder. And in that moment, I was thinking to myself, as I be damned, this old man pulling this off. They really are bonding. I didn't see it. I didn't understand how it was going to happen. But he made it happen, because old people are wise. See, at this time, I'm 28 years old. I'm young. I don't know much about life. But what Alex Haley was saying about how you can, at these reunions, you see all these generations. I'm looking at four generations of this man. This is my son's great-grandfather. And they may never have another moment, but I witnessed that moment. And they didn't ever have another moment afterwards. But my grandfather was right that my son, he didn't remember. And that's the tragedy. I thought for a long time, I thought that was a tragedy. But then as I got older, because like I said, I was 28. This is 30 years later, I'm telling this story. That moment wasn't for him. That moment wasn't for him. He doesn't remember. I remember. He doesn't get sentimental because he doesn't remember. I get sentimental because I remember. The old man was giving me the vision, me the memory. Take it and tell the generations who never knew him, who will never know him. But I have that one funny story about a man whose blood is flowing through all of his great-grandchildren and, you know, through their veins. I have that pleasant story, that pleasant memory to share with them about him. So that's the reconnecting. That's why it's so important to reconnect, to reground yourself so you can experience these treasures that you get to pass on. That you ain't gonna get these treasures nowhere else with no other people other than your own. So, Brother Drew, I guess we could go ahead and wrap this thing up. Brothers and sisters, I hope y'all enjoyed the show. Your submissions, again, the last 11 spaces that we have for the submissions are if you want to make a submission about heterosexual relationship development, those submissions as well can be submitted at ggwoodthelist@gmail.com or ggwoodthelist@hotmail.com. So, brothers and sisters, y'all stay strong, stay true, choose what's righteous over what's popular. Next month, Thursday the 10th at 10 p.m. Brother Drew, last word is yours.
All right, y'all. See y'all next month. All right, Gigi.
All right, we out.